Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guests on this episode are Ben Easton, Dottie Cochran, and Harry Catchpole of the band Deary. Inspired by acts such as Slow Dive and My Bloody Valentine, the trio's new album, Birding, is out April 3rd via Bella Union. In this conversation, the band members discuss the formation of the group, how world events have influenced their music, and the process of writing and recording Birding. That's Deary on Into Music, coming up now. Can you just tell me a little bit about kind of like when you came together and you know, were you sort of drawn by common interests? Was this about friendship? And then you said, let's just see what this sounds like when we get in a room and start making noise, or what happened?
Yeah, lockdown happened and I was in a few bands that weren't really going anywhere and the songwriting was split five ways. So I didn't really have my own voice or my own thing to kind of work on. So when lockdown kicked in, I thought it was a good opportunity to make some new things and experiment with sort of leaning into my love of like dream pop and trip hop and atmospheric music. I experimented with that for like a year or so, with the view that once lockdown was lifted, I'd find someone to come and sing over the top of it. And yeah, it was about a year until me and Dottie got together, met through a mutual friend. As soon as we realized that we were on the same page, we had loads of tracks to kind of work with, which eventually became our first EP.
So that was really just kind of the music, and then you invited Dottie to sing over that.
Yeah, pretty much. And we weren't really thinking of it as a band. Like, I wanted it to be a band eventually, but it was just me and Dottie, and we were going to do some, and we were just going to, you know, record stuff in the studio and see where we get to. And then we got offered a show because we'd like sent demos off to Sonic Cathedral, and it kind of spiraled pretty quickly. So for the first, I don't know, like, was it like 6 months, Dottie? We were like you, me, and a drummer and bass on like backing track. And so it wasn't really a band, like we were kind of just musicians playing. And then over the years, it's kind of morphed into more people and more people and more people. And, you know, Harry joined us about 18 months ago, which was a massive step up. So yeah, we kind of intently fallen into it in a way.
Dottie, when you kind of started, you know, adding lyrics and everything, was this a kind of thing that you'd sort of been looking for as well? Like, this style of music and this style of writing is what I've wanted to pursue for a while?
Yeah, I think it wasn't like an active thought, like, oh, I really want to be in this sort of band. But I had like been a songwriter for a really long time. And I think I've always had a bit of like a confidence issue maybe in myself, and like any other things I was doing before I met Ben, I was kind of writing all the guitar parts and kind of writing everything and lacked that confidence in actually like delving further into anything. So I think when Ben contacted me, it was kind of this perfect opportunity for me to kind of be a bit more playful and have someone that kind of had my back, and we would work together and to create something rather than everything being on me all the time. So yeah, it was just like a bit of a fun adventure, especially at a time when things were like quite difficult. It became this like joyful thing that I got to do, dance around these like beautiful instrumentals and just be a bit explorative and enjoy this genre that I'd always kind of loved.
Oh yeah, that I guess that thing too, that since this did sort of start in lockdown, this would have been post-lockdown, and it would have been, I guess, that moment where a lot of us were looking for, now we're out of this. Can we try to get some semblance of joy or celebration out of life again?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, we've been doing obviously the album is coming out and we're really excited about it, and we've been doing a lot of press for it, and writing out all of these answers as to where we were 6 years ago, it is kind of interesting how much we've grown since then. But one thing that I don't think we've ever let go of is actually this escapism that we try and write in our music, and it comes really natural. We're all three of us are very, very happy, people, and very sort of emotional people. But when we write music, it kind of we unintentionally go melancholy and sad and try and sort of escape from reality or escape from, bad things that we've seen or experienced. Maybe not for joy, but for some kind of solace or some kind of sort of shoulder to cry on. So our music is always kind of has got that escapism tinge to it.
Never thought about it like that, but that's kind of how we started writing at the time, and that we've carried on doing that. That's really interesting. I like that.
Yes. So like if everyone was after lockdown, everyone was excited to go back to the club or whatever, we were like, no, we don't want to be on our own, but we also don't want to go back to reality either. You know what I mean? So it's weird.
And just to kind of stay, I think Ben, you alluded to this a little bit earlier, that it wasn't initially a given that this was going to be anything sort of long term. So at some point, you start accumulating time and accumulating more music, right? And then it comes into view, and it's like, oh yeah, we do have something here, and it'd be kind of a shame to let it go.
Definitely. I mean, it's not violins. I don't know about Dottie and Harry, but for me, it wasn't like the last roll of the dice. But I'd been playing in bands for 15 years when we started Deary, and I was just getting really, like, I just so demotivated with playing music to five people in a room, really, really struggling to get the tracks on the radio, or even in a more personal way, like really struggling to understand what direction I wanted my own songwriting to go. And as soon as we started realizing that people were interested and people liked the music that we were playing and coming to gigs and wanted to hear more and everything, we were just like, yeah, there's no point in stopping it. And now it's second nature. It's kind of what gives us a reason to get out of bed in the morning, So it's really validating, yeah.
I wonder sometimes, like I feel like we never. I don't think anybody ever wants to sit down and make art by committee, but certainly at points, maybe we make things thinking a little bit about who's going to listen to this. And sometimes, when you just kind of abandon that and you're not thinking about audience, that's when you get to the good stuff.
Yeah, I think we've done a lot. We've kind of been on that journey ever since the beginning. Like when you first start something, you're so conscious of how people are going to view it and how people are going to listen to it, especially with such like an adored genre that has such a strong kind of, these musical geniuses and such a strong following. I think we were a bit tentative, or at least I was at the beginning, but as
Same.
we've grown and our music has formed, and we've just become more confident about, the music that we make and how we work together, we've kind of grown and kind of care a little less about how other people might listen to it, and just like the experience that we've had, like making it together. And yeah.
Well, Harry, you're the newcomer at 18 months.
Man.
Were you a fan of the band before you came in? How did you sort of come into the picture?
Yeah, someone else asked me if I was a fan already. I had heard, I think I'd heard little bits already, or maybe Fairground or something had popped up. This is my sort of music, so it'd come up on my algorithm somewhere. But I was in Manchester at the time, and they reached out to me. They found me online, and I was just moving into London, and I was like, this is the perfect time for like a new start, new everything. It was really the project like I really wanted to do and explore, even though I play with a lot of other stuff, because it's very like, for drums at least, it's very like economy based. Like you've got to be sparing and intentional with how you like choose and fill, because it's a guitar, it's guitars, it's gorgeous melody, and you don't want to get in the way of that. So I find it fun as like a discipline to sort of slow down and choose my parts very intentionally. So this was like the exact sort of thing I wanted to do. So yeah, and it's just spiraled a bit. So very happy.
So tell me about when this album, when did this kind of start coming into view that you were going to go in, you were going to make the debut record a full length?
The first EP that we released in 2023, it went down so well, and we just supported Slow Dive at the Troxy in London, which was this huge, crazy, crazy thing. We played our first show exactly 12 months before, and it was just a really, really spiraling thing. And as soon as that EP was finished, we were like, okay, now is the time to do the record, the full record. And we spent a few months trying to shoehorn things in, both like studio wise, songwriting, bearing in mind that this was me and Dottie at the time. We didn't have a drummer. We had a my mate Tom was playing drums for us. We had a bassist, she's called Havni, who was joining us, and we were kind of, still working things out. But I was adamant that it was like, now's the time to do the record, because we've got this. We've had a decent feedback from various people on and fans, and it was like, yeah, let's go. And as soon as we got into the studio to what we thought was going to be making a record, it was just way too big to do at that time. It would have been rushed, and it wouldn't have come out exactly as we wanted it. And I don't think we were ready to even make something like that. So we ended up seeing what we could find, and made our second EP, Aurelia, and was really, really chuffed with that. But as soon as Aurelia was in the can, it was just like, yeah, let's go and let's start writing. And it took quite a while to find tracks that were working for us. We were more focused on live performing, and that's when Harry came in. So we were like, okay, well, actually, this is a new dynamic, and it took us a while to kind of get into that mode. We did a single called "I Still Think About You," which was the first time that Harry was in the studio with us, and that was in April last year. So when we weren't a well-oiled machine after our second EP in terms of like songwriting and recording, but yeah, it came together pretty quickly. As soon as we realized that we had maybe like eight demos or something, that we were like, okay, cool, got into the studio and started chipping away at it, really. I mean, it took what was it, June to October, so it took 4 months or so in the studio, away from the studio, all of us at work. We work full-time jobs, so it was, weekends and days off, and back in the office on a Monday, listening to what we'd done that weekend, me making crazy amount of notes, threatening to scrap everything pretty much every week. And yeah, and it just slowly but surely started forming. Might not be an exact answer to your question. It just sort of naturally came in, and that's where we get our best work from, is when it just, put as much effort in as we can, but there's no point in pressurizing or pushing anything too much, because it will break. So it's like, just let it sit, let it simmer.
Because the music is emotional, melancholy, is there a specific kind of preparation that you feel that you need to do, like when you're recording a track, just to kind of get in the proper mind frame for playing it? Or is it just like, we know the songs, let's play them?
I think I have any sort of ritual or anything that gets me in that space. I don't know, maybe it's because we've done it for so long now. It feels like a natural thing that happens when I see these guys, like, we just something just comes out in us when we see each other and we make what we make. We definitely like seem to have formed a few themes as we write. So like Aurelia was focused kind of on like moths and nature and growth, and then with birding I kind of got a bit fascinated by birds and nature and our like our kind of impact on the world. And it seems to always be like a day before we start intensely writing the album, and Ben and I will just like chat for about 3 hours about the same subject and think like, oh yeah, and then this thing and this thing. And then we kind of create this visual concept, but also kind of an emotional concept that helps us build this world of our next project. It just kind of automatically happens.
I think it's also worth pointing out that we don't We don't write songs in the rehearsal room either, which is one thing we do want to explore going forward. But at the moment, it's written primarily, I come up with something, send it to the guys. Harry comes back and goes, I think the drums should be looking a little bit more like this. Dottie goes, I think we should be looking at something like this. What we ended up finding on the we did a few like pre-production sessions where we took demos in and Harry was like drumming along to them and it's like, you know what, I want to figure this out or whatever. But what we found was by the end of the Berlin sessions, we were kind of writing as we went in the studio. So it wasn't like you could prepare for anything. It was more like we've already built a world of five or six songs, or like thematically, we've built something, and then these other things are going to fill in to it. And I remember, it's not a name drop, but I remember I went for a pint with Christian from Slowdive, and I borrowed a guitar of his because he's a lefty and I'm a lefty, and I was giving it back to him, and we were talking about the record and stuff. And this is, you know, 6 to 8 months before we started writing it, and he was like, you'll find two or three tracks in the studio. You always do. And I was like, cool. Hadn't really thought about it. But then looking out, like by the end of the sessions, I'd realized, like, oh yeah, shit, those two or three tracks or parts or whatever were actually very much like, oh yeah, that just came in the studio. Like Alma was definitely a studio one, which is, you know, quite a key track on the record, but it was built out of demos and then we just got it in the studio. Harry found a snare that sounded awful but brilliant at the same time. And we were like, oh, great. And we just made the song around it. So yeah, we're not really a plug in and play kind of band. We like think about it for months and months and months and then it suddenly happens.
I love that idea of finding something that's sort of imperfect but the right touch. It's always beautiful. But tell me about this theme of birding, because like I think about birds as being in a lot of ways they're indicators, right, for what's happening with people on Earth. They represent this, I suppose, freedom and beauty to a lot of people, but if we are paying attention to nature, we might sometimes see what's coming for us.
No, I just for contextually, like the you know, after Aurelia came out, obviously we started thinking about this album, and I wanted to put everything into it. So I kind of quit my job and I went freelance, and I wanted to do some more producing and more mixing and get my skills kind of up to scratch so I could make this record, but also moved away from Southeast London where I'd been for like 12 years. So I found myself in like a very isolated place, not really knowing where I was. I think it was winter, which always fucking helped, and ended up being in quite a vulnerable spot and like mentally. And as a, just because I'm a product of the world nowadays, ended up doom scrolling on my phone when I should have been working and seeing all of this horrible shit that just spews over you. You know, being in a bit of a mental funk and going for a walk and then seeing nature and being like, oh, that's so beautiful. And then 2 minutes later, seeing Trump say some bullshit or what, you know, and it's just like, it's all of these things. That was kind of where this record was built, basically, was in this really, really sad place, basically. So I think it kind of stems from there. But the birding and birds as a thematic thing kind of came as a sort of secondary or like morphing from Aurelia, which was about transition and change and how it can be a good thing, and ended up realizing that this time that we were making birding was not great, basically. You know, so that change actually becomes too hard to handle. I mean, the cover for the album that was taken by a photographer friend of ours called Josh Height. I think you might have, or this podcast might have actually done an interview with him. And the cover is a child with oversized clothes trying to fly, looking out of place, and the background is this sort of vast, grey, horribleness, but it's majestic as well because it's just so vast and everything. And it kind of immediately just summed the record up, which was like, look at us and look at all sentient beings. We're so vulnerable and we're so fragile in this huge world that is essentially being destroyed by our own hand. And it's just like, it's quite a horrible thing when you kind of sit and think about it, but also it's there's always hope and there's always love and there's always compassion that gets you through it, kind of thing. That's the short answer.
I think just like adding to your point about like the juxtaposition of nature and birds, I think that's what really kind of sparked my thought process. Like when I started looking into birds and kind of their symbols, they obviously like symbolize a lot with like the weather and like predators and a lot of things intertwined with nature. But then there's also these great myths about them, kind of like crows gathering around war camps and war sites when they used to be like battles because they knew that there would be like flesh afterwards. And obviously very gruesome, but like just these little kind of little prophecies and things, so magical and really, really kind of drew me into this world of signals and nature and like Ben said, our kind of influence as humans on it as well. So yeah, it became something just really like amazing to look into and study for a little bit. Something that's been around for, hundreds of years. They are classified as kind of dinosaurs, birds. So it was amazing to kind of witness it and draw inspiration from it as well.
Just to go back to something you were saying, Ben, about that, the beauty in the world and then the horror of it. It's so delicate.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our lyrical content, and also obviously the music has a big part of it as well. But a lot of our stuff previously has been, forlorn and sad and melancholy. But there's not really been that much sort of anguish and anger in there. And we're not an angry band. We're also not a political band. And I think we're quite happy not being massively political. I think there's a lot of things that obviously we stand up for and or we stand against because we're kind of. We like to think we have a moral compass, and we like to think that we're empathetic as people. But I think that was us sort of previously. But I think this record, we did kind of go, you know what? Actually, there's too much that you can't ignore anymore. So, for example, when obviously the album was kind of coming together, and we were recording that last single, and Dottie and me were having a coffee on this roof of a studio in South London, and Dottie was like, "I think I've got an idea for what would eventually become Smile, which is the opening track on the record." And she was like, "I'm just kind of, I've had my, I'm kind of at my wit's end with this crisis of sexual violence against women. Like, it's just fucking enough now." And it was the first time that I think I'd heard Dottie openly approach that kind of thing for Deary. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And it makes a lot of sense in terms of where we're going with production. It makes a lot of sense where we're going musically, that it kind of we're getting a bit angry about things because you can't not be, because the world is completely and utterly broken. Yeah, the anger is very much dancing and hand in hand with the same kind of emotional melancholy that we have, especially on this record. And I think like we know our place in music. We know that we are not. We enjoy what we do, and we love making music, and we love the fact it's really special that people have started to come on board and support us, and it's really, really special. And we know that we're not of that level that we can kind of fly the flag and be like, yeah, fuck, whatever. But we also have a duty to either with our music sort of make a statement or make some kind of or bring people some kind of solace or a shoulder to cry on or whatever, because this is what the album is for us as well. That's why we made it, is because it is our emotional support. So if other people can find that within our music, then that's really special,
You've been listening to a conversation with the members of Deary. The band's album, Birding, is out April 3rd via Bella Union. You can learn more about them via their official website, DearyBand.com. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, KMUW.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@KMUW.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening, and as always, we'd like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson. See you next time.